Six pack lap it at. I got the boys back. Matt Gary, Rory Lynch, Eric Helms. Fellas, this is the Sheffield men's preview show for 2024. And on the men's side, return of powerlifting's apex predator, the returning Sheffield champion, Jesus Olivares. He came on the podcast last Sheffield. He got the highest total, tested or untested, we've ever seen in powerlifting for anybody in knee sleeves. Now, he's still lifting in knee sleeves, but he wants the highest total we've ever seen, tested or untested, even done in reps, which is 1182.5. There's a target. That's what he threw out there. Take that of what you will. It doesn't mean you guys think he's going to hit it, or maybe you think he's going to feel, oh, I feel good today and go a little beyond. Who knows, right? Or maybe you think the opposite and he gets a little more conservative when he actually gets there. But there is a target. And amongst other people, wow, we got legends like Tony Cliff in the 120s. Now, Tony on the podcast, and everyone's going to hear it. I haven't dropped it yet, but it might have been dropped by the time this bad boy comes out. Tony said, hey, guess what? I'm going to hit 1,000 kilos when I hit the platform at Sheffield. Now, that is a bold claim, considering 978 is the world record in the 120s. And Tony's best is below that. So that is massive. However, Tony is, despite being just shy of 40 years old, hitting personal best in training and just posted. We haven't been able to see the numbers by the time this recording's taking place, but he said, my next week of training honestly scares me, the numbers that I'm going to have to hit. Again, gentlemen, I'm not saying this is going to, you don't know what those numbers are, and we're recording this before, but I don't know if that's persuading you to second guess any of your picks. But there it is for the 120s. 105's Return of the King, Anatoly Novopismani. Anatoly, obviously, best lifter at 2023 Worlds. He won best lifter previously at 2021 Worlds, but he's been plagued at Euros. Emil Norling is 3-0 against him at Euros at this point, and it's become almost like a cursed meat for him. He got injured at Euros. How injured is he now? Is he back to form? We don't know because he doesn't post all that often. Very interesting to see what you guys are. You're going to have to basically shoot blind on that one. Going down to the 93s. Oh, wow. Do we have some battles for you, gentlemen? Return of the 93 kilo king is Jonathan Keiko. Keiko lost the world title in 2022, regained form in 2023. Not only taking the world championship, but also winning the Battle of the 93s. But if you want to talk about the Battle of the 93s, you can't do so in recent times without saying the name Gavin Aiden. And Gavin is one squat world record away from winning that battle each and every time. However, always seems to get it taken from him. And I use the verbiage taken from him because that's how Gavin and his supporters feel. Some of these squats, literally getting two white lights, and the jury overrules. And depending on who you ask, they think it's a robbery. Very interesting because Gavin, and I won't chew up your guys' scouting, but I've done scouting myself, and Gavin is hitting personal best. If you follow his TikTok, not necessarily Instagram, he's hitting some PRs in squat and looks like he was good enough for the world record squat previously, but it's on the line. It's on the line of depth. And strength-wise has gone up. Can he solidify that third squat now? And oh, what will that do for his total? I'll leave it to you, gentlemen, to decide. Other 93s, though, Gustav Hedlund, who gave Jonathan Keiko a hell of a scare in 2021 when the host nation, Sweden, and Sweden's own Gustav Hedlund gave him a super close scare and had the winning deadlift up slightly over the knees. And then he locked them just a little too early and it got away from him. That close to beating Jonathan Keiko, and has been chasing Keiko ever since. And again, I won't tread on your guys' scouting, but I've been paying attention, and he is lifting some big weights in training, and he's not the type to go super heavy in training. He trains more sub max, but if you're looking at the training, indications that possibly Hedlund might do something big at Sheffield, and the Swedes are good on game day. And new upstart, Carlos Griffith Peterson, who was in flight B, but still managed to finish, I think, sixth at Worlds, and he is bold, unintimidated, and unimpressed with the other 93s and believes this is going to be his coming out party. I'm excited to see what that young man does. It's always nice to have a sleeper in the division where everyone else is sleeping on, and they take it almost like an insult, like, let me show you. And he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder and wants to show the world a little something, something, taking it to the 83s where two-time world champion Delaney Wallace returns. Delaney also just an inch away from taking that world record from Russell Orhi, no less, at the last Sheffield. 1 inch away. And he would have had it on his final deadlift. However, he has been dealing with injuries, has been posting a lot. Again, like Anatoly, somewhat flying blind on exactly where he is. Moving into the 74s, did you guys like the battle of the 74s? Of course, we all did when Palle Johansson from Sweden clinched the title, defeating the GOAT, and became the 74-kilo world champion. Tim Monagotti, though, also beat the GOAT, took the silver medal, and is tired of living in Cali's shadows. Body weight separated him. What will separate them this time? They're going to need to go over 800 kilos because Kjell Bakkelund from Norway at the European Championship upped the IPF world record to 800 kilos for the 74-kilo class. Oh, by the way, Kjell is the reserve lifter should anybody pull out. And believe me, it'll be bedlam in the 74s if it's Kjell, Tim, and Palle Johansson. Can you imagine? And if you like showdowns, we got more direct showdowns in the 66s. The Lion of France, Panagiotis, returns, had a sensational battle in the 66s at the World Championship, and Kyoto is back as well. And Kyoto, not posting as much, but Kyoto has some people believing that he might be able to upset the reigning world champion. I'm seeing it in my DMs. There's a groundswell of support for Kyoto. Give you this. You guys have done your due diligence. 730 kilos is what Penn posted up as a gym total in his singlet. I watched the videos. Lifts look pretty good. Squat looked adept to me. Everything looked on form and locked out. 730. He was on the podcast. Not sure if it'll be dropped by the time this one drops. The numbers he's projecting, my friends, Penna is coming to win Sheffield, not just beat Kyoto in a 66-kilo clash. But both of these gentlemen have already gone over the world. Well, Kyoto's gone over the world record officially at Japanese Nationals, and Penna destroyed it in the gym, and let's see if he can bring it to the platform. Gentlemen, do we shake up the order? Or how should we do it this time? Do you guys, should we go Rory goes first again, or?
I can go first.
All right, Rory. Let's do, just like again. Last time, we're going to go give our top four. We'll start at number four. Rory, who is coming in number four at Sheffield?
Yeah. I want to say two things before I actually give the name of who I've got coming in number four. Firstly, I think that this is going to be really tight on percentage terms. The percentages are much lower than in the women's classes. So I have sort of number three through number nine or 10, all falling between sort of 99 and 101%. And the difference of 2% with a total between 700 and a little bit over 1,000 kilograms is something between, is like less than 20 kilograms, right? And so if we're talking about particularly in the lighter weight classes, like 15 kilograms, that could very easily be one missed attempt. And so the difference between, I think the difference between coming, you know, third and coming eighth in this meet might be the difference between going 7 for 9 and going 8 for 9. So the other thing that I want to say is that with some very rare exceptions, people generally don't rise to their aspirations, they fall to the level of their training. So when we have people coming in and saying that they're going to hit these huge numbers, that's all very well and good. I'm like thrilled that people have these enormous goals. I would love to see them hit them. I'm ignoring that. I'm looking at what they're actually doing and seeing how that compares to what they would actually need to perform on the day. So having said all of that, I've actually got Gavin Aiden in number four again, I think. And what I think is going to make the difference for Gavin is whether he goes 1 or 2 for 3 on squats or 3 for 3 on squats. And what I would really like to see him do is only just chip the world record squat. I'd like to see him go 331.5 kilograms, absolutely sink it, get 3 white lights, no room for the jury to overturn it, take his bag for breaking the squat world record, and then move on with the rest of the day. Unfortunately, I think he is going to shoot for what he's actually capable of squatting, which is probably more like 340 on his best day. And that is going to leave him in that sort of unfortunate area where he often falls with his squats, where he's likely to get a red light for depth, or maybe more than one red light for depth. And that leaves room for the jury to overturn it. And we've seen many times now the jury overturn his squats, which means if he wants to be finishing high up on this list, like he needs to not give the wiggle room, right? Like you need to perform without room for the jury to jump in and alter that result, which is what happened, previously. So on a good day, Gavin Aiden, I've got him going slightly over the world record, 891.5, coming in fourth.
And you said fourth again. I'm not sure if you're alluding to last year. He was on the podium in third, but
Oh, sorry, my mistake.
no worries, no worries. I got you, fam. Matt was second. Matt, who you got?
Mr. Lynch, get out of my head. Okay. I have Gavin Aiden in fourth with an 892 total. For
Wow.
all, yeah, and he picked 891 and a half. So for all of the same reasons that Rory just alluded to, and I won't repeat all of that. It's like the only thing I would say to Gavin is it hasn't been process orientation in the way that you've selected the attempts. It comes down to execution, just like Rory said. And so my only advice to Gavin would be, in a single word, execute to an irrefutable standard. So you have to execute and you have to make it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so yeah, I mean, I have been wrong about Gavin every single time. I've made a pick, I've gone wrong. And so I wish him the best, but for all the same reasons that Rory has, I have him coming in at 892, which would put him at 100.45% in fourth place.
When you said you were wrong, what was your previous? Were you saying he would hit the third and he wasn't?
Yep. Yeah. So, I
Well,
mean,
then this time Gavin will be like, "Sir, you're wrong again."
yep,
Ironically,
exactly. Yeah. And let me tell you something.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Gavin, I will be the first guy to run up to you in the warm-up room or downstairs or wherever we are and hug you and congratulate you and high five you, my man. You have to execute. That's it, to an irrefutable standard. You get to write the narrative. Like you said, you hold the pen, you get to script the story the way that you want it. And so up until now, the narrative has been the squats have been borderline, they've been taken away. I've got, this, that, and the other. It's just bury it, man. The strength is there. Do your job.
Can you imagine the buzz in the crowd if Gavin goes 3 for 3 for squats? We all pause for the jury. There's no overturn and we're moving forward. Everybody knows what that means. The battle is now on like we've never seen before. Eric, who's coming in fourth?
I have, yeah. So this is just to echo what was already said. This is tough. Like very, very small changes make very big differences in placings, and there's not as many people fighting for big jumps over the record like we saw in the women's. I actually have Anatoly in fourth. The reason being is we don't have a whole lot of information. He's training very light right now. It seems like you mentioned in the overview, he's trying to overcome an injury coming in. And what I've got him at is being able to recover on bench press and chip the world record and being a little bit behind his best numbers on squat and deadlift. And for that means he's actually totaling slightly over the world record by like 1.5 kilos. And just with the way I have everything else shaking out, that is a very, very good position at fourth, but not on the podium, but not really far down. I don't know. I think he's a very resilient lifter. I don't think he's going to be so beat up as to be completely relegated out of the top spots. So that's who I have in fourth.
Rory, who is your number three?
My number three is Jonathan Geico. So as I mentioned before, because what I predict the spread is going to be, very small differences, and in particular attempt selection, makes quite a big difference. And Jonathan Geico makes a lot of attempts. Like, he makes 8 or 9 or 9 for 9 every meet for years. And I think that might be the difference between him being on the podium and him not being on the podium in this instance. I don't think he's going to be able to take a crack at either the squat or deadlift world record. Those are both, you know, quite far away from where it seems like he is, but he may be able to get a little bit on the bench world record along the way. And I've got him coming in under 900, but in the high 890s, I've got 898.5, but, you know, at this point, the exact attempt selection actually makes a pretty big difference on that final total.
Going to be interesting to see if we see any 93s going over 900. Matt, what are your thoughts for your number three?
For number three, I have Sweden's Gustav Hedlund. And so I think, I have Gustav sneaking at number three. His training has looked good. Like you said, Ryan, he doesn't necessarily show his top end work, but he's not far off some of his top end work, or from what I've seen in his training and what he's been able to produce based on previous training performances. You know, I suspect that he's going to be in line for incremental PBs almost across the board. And I think, you know, I don't know who's coaching him, but if Carolina Arvidsson is there, I certainly consider her one of the best game day coaches on the planet without question, in my mind's eye. And I have him coming in at about an 897.5 total, which would put him at 101.07. You know, typically Gustav makes about 7 out of 9 attempts, but I suspect, knowing that none of the world records are in play for him, it is incumbent upon him to just make as many as he possibly can. So I think that actually bodes well, because he's not going to be enticed by, you know, going after that squat like Gavin and perhaps Carlos Peterson Griffith will be. And the bench is out of the question, and the deadlift are out of the question as well. So I think for him, it's just about making 9 attempts. And so I have Gustav in third.
Very interesting that it's a gift to not be close enough to grab an individual world record, so you're not tempted, because there's money involved and a world record for history involved. That's in the crowds there. Very tempting. Whereas Gustav will not be tempted to overreach. Eric, who is your number three?
I have Kyoto Uchiyama in number three. And I think him falling short of the expectations in prior competitions has come down to technical execution, decision-making, things like that. And those errors only go so long without being corrected. And I believe that he is doing certain things that are necessary to correct those issues. I think he's very aware of what needs to be done. I know he's working on it. And I think that's the only barrier that hasn't had him performing as well as, you know, he's been performing at, like, say, Japanese nationals and other places. So I think he can be even relatively conservative compared to maybe where his top end for strength technically is and still be very high in these rankings. So I have Kyoto finishing, you know, similarly to his best ever individual numbers, but maybe not quite as high on the deadlift, and doing something that he should be able to do if he works on the technical execution. So 247, 172, 292 puts him at like a 712, which is over the current world record by a couple kilos. That will, as we'll discuss later in my books, have him beating Panna, even though Panna will be probably putting together one of his best personal totals, and finishing on the podium in third.
Kyoto has hit 712.5 at a national level anyways. He's capable. Small errors have cost him at last Sheffield and the World Championships. Has he plugged those holes? He's going to be under very tough pressure with Panna returning as well. Rory, who is your number? Where are we at? Two?
Number two. There we are,
two.
My number getting two close. Is Kyoto Uchiyama. I haven't seen any squats from him lately. I have seen a 172.5-foot-2 bench press that looked like decent, not incredible, but decent. For his deadlifts, he's been doing a lot of pause deadlifts, and I'm struggling a little bit to translate that into his, you know, his comp deadlift style. But the best that I've seen from him from his deadlifts is 275-for-3 paused, and his best comp deadlift is 300. He does say that he wants to take a shot at the world record, so the current world record is 307.5, so I expect to see him loading probably 308 for his third attempt. I don't have a good idea of whether he's going to get that or not. I wonder if he may end up with just his second deadlift. But even if we take 240, 175, 177.5 for his bench, and then like even if we could say 300, you know, even if we say 300, that puts him in the, you know, 17s or potentially low 20s, depending exactly where he finishes on that deadlift, which I have him landing on about 102%.
What a turnaround that would be for Kyoto Uchiyama should he live up to the expectation you gentlemen are giving at him. But you're right. This goes back to what Matt said. When that world record is close, it's tempting. And will that tempting, where you reach for it, make you fall back on your second attempt? And will that cost him when that door swings open for a guy like Penna? Matt, who's your number two?
Number two. I have Jonathan Keiko at number two. My man makes 8.4 out of 9 attempts, an incredible attempt selection and execution right there, 8.4 out of 9. I suspect his strength is tracking at an all-time high. If you follow his training diligently and you take a deep dive into what he's been doing, I believe he's had a breakthrough and quite frankly, a breakthrough in all three lifts. And so I expect him to hit PBs in every discipline. And so, you know, there are three certainties in life, Ryan, death, taxes, and Jonathan Keiko benching a world record at shit. So I fully suspect that Jonathan will take an incremental PB or aim for that in his squat. So that would mean a 307.5 squat. He already has the world record in the bench. And as I said, that's a certainty. He is going to bench another world record in the bench press. It's currently 243. I would anticipate him going 245 or throwing a chip so that he's north of that 245 threshold. And then I anticipate him hitting about a 350-kilo deadlift, which would put him at a 902.5 total. So I think he will be the 93 that breaks through that 900-kilo barrier, that milestone total, if you will, and that would put him at 101.63%. So Jonathan Keiko is my number two.
Has been hurt hitting PRs on the bench press again in training, and that bench is just the most reliable of weapons for Jonathan Keiko. And could he be the one to break through the 900 kilo barrier as a 93? And you saying his stats for years, national and world level battles for years, and consistently 9 for 9, 9 for 9, 9 for 9. One time he misses a lift, comes back 9 for 9. That one time obviously dropped his stat from the beautiful 9 for 9, but he had such a streak. He's so reliable. How about yourself, Eric? Who's your vice champion?
Jonathan Keiko. And I have those numbers shaking out, even being a little more conservative and just putting him at, I think, equal PRs for squat and deadlift and chipping the bench world record. So that will become apparent as to why I think that is and why he doesn't need to be that big to win. But I'll go back to the comment I made for the women's episode that I do think the judging is going to be to a higher standard for the second Sheffield. So I think that's going to potentially constrain the top end of what we see as the total numbers. But I think Jonathan, even being conservative with how consistent he is got a podium spot locked up, and I have him in second with breaking the bench world record.
It's so easy to pick Keiko high because he's so consistent. He lives up to those data points each and every time. But yeah, all right, Rory, who is going to win Sheffield 2024?
I have to admit, I surprised myself a little bit with this one. But in the number one spot, I have Jesus Olivares. So I think the best training squat that I've seen from him was 420 kilos for four, and turning those rep PBs into what the top end is, I think is quite challenging, but I would expect he's going to take a shot at the squat world record. So probably 478 or 480. Mm-hmm. He may want to squat more than that. I wonder if this may not be the time. He has been setting rep PBs on bench as well, but again, turning those rep PBs, like I think the best that I saw was 231 for six, but then turning the, like, how does your six rep max relate to your one rep max? Like there's a relationship, sure, but it's pretty loose by that point. And then he did do a 426 kilo training deadlift, and giving him the benefit of the doubt, I would say that I would probably white light that on the day, but it was not the angle that the referees are going to be sitting on. It was an angle that probably made it look a little bit better than it would have in person. And so I suspect that that deadlift possibly would not have passed at Sheffield. But even if I say 480, incremental PB on his bench, 275, 277.5, something like that, and then a 415 or maybe even 420 deadlift, that brings him to around about 102%.
And yeah, you're alluding to on the deadlift, you're thinking soft knees?
Yeah, soft knees.
It's 50-50. It's going to be tough because he's such a large man, huge frame. He's gaining size. And when he leans back, he's got to make sure his knees don't unlock a little bit. But getting those massive shoulders back, because he's, you know, that's
what I saw.
I know. Yeah, it's getting those massive shoulders back. And then the knees slightly unlock. But I mean, I agree with you, Rory. When I saw it, I'm like, I think I would pass that. But also, you know, we're getting close, right? We're getting close. I don't know. But what a story it would be, because we've already said how difficult it would be to win Sheffield, come back and win Sheffield again. How difficult would that be? Because you're breaking the world record, kicking it off, and then you have to redo just like that the next year due to the way Sheffield's set up with world records. That is such a back-to-back. Incredible feats. Matt, what do you think? Who is winning Sheffield 2024?
Jesus Olivares is going to be a back-to-back Sheffield champion. You know, he was just recently on the KOTL podcast. So if you haven't listened to that episode, do yourself a favor and go back and listen to that. That was a good episode. I'm going to take Jesus at face value in terms of what he's anticipating doing on the squat. I know that he said on that episode that he was thinking of breaking Ray's world record. The world record is 477.5, not to be confused with what Ray has squatted, 490. That was at the Arnold. It did not count as a world record. So the world record is 477.5. Jesus said that he was going to probably aim for about 480. Spoke to Jesus briefly in the DMs. He said that his squat is tracking well and that he might try to push it just a little bit more. And so I don't know if he was being coy in saying that he was only going to take 480. Here's the deal. I'm going to take him at face value, and I have him down for a 480 kilo squat. If he breaks Ray's world record on the second attempt, I would suspect 500 kilos going on the bar for the third. Because here's the deal. Big flight, 12 lifters. You're not going to try that in Lithuania in a flight of eight lifters. Being on Eurosport, fast flight, the pit crew with the spotters and loaders, they're going to, right? You're not going to take the chance, secure the W, become another world champion once again. So this would be the place to do it. Much like for the same reasons I said, Sonita, I believe, is going to try 300. I think that if, again, I have Jesus at 480, but if we see him chip the world record on the second attempt or take a world record, I believe he will go north of 490 and aim for 500, and this is the place to do it. But having said all those things, I have him coming out at about the same total. As Rory said, I have 480. I have an incremental PB of 275 on the bench, and I actually have him down for that 425 deadlift. Here's the thing with the deadlift. I did think that the knees were soft in the video that I saw, slightly soft, but it's one of those coin flip lifts. When he posted the side angle, that was more impressive to me. And I was actually swayed. And I thought to myself, oh, wow, that is a good lift. However, that being said, they often, like Roy said, position the referees kind of almost as these three, you know, front referees, where they're not, you know, the two other referees who I'm putting side in air quotes are not sitting on the sides as they, in my opinion, truly should be. That's for another discussion at another time. So it, you know, the issue with guys that are built like him is their hands swelling after maxing out on squat, maxing out on bench. And will, you know, when he pulled that 425 in training or 426, presumably knowing the way that he trains, that was done in a fresh state. That was not done after maxing out in the squat and the bench. And so I think we all know Jesus probably has the strength, the hip and back strength to stand up with probably 440 kilos or somewhere in that neighborhood. Everything's fast. It's just the lockout. Can he get the shoulders back? Can he lock the knees? And will his grip hold up after taking loads, you know, presumably two squats over a grand and heavy benches with, you know, perhaps one north of 600. So anyway, I have him coming in at an 1180 total, and that would be 102.39%. Jesus Olivares is your 2024 Sheffield champion.
Oh, my Lord. And I love that you said about that second video. You're right. It looked better, looked cleaner, and it was closer. Eric, are these gentlemen, you know, right?
They are right, but I do have different thoughts on a few things. So I also have Jesus Olivares as your Sheffield champion. And I also was watching that second video. The second video convinced me on the knees, but it unconvinced me on the shoulders. When I watched it, I actually was like, oh shit. Like, maybe he got his knees because the shoulders are still forward. It's hard to tell when your shoulders are the size of small island nations in the Caribbean. But to me, I was like, I think I would white light that, but I don't know that they will be white lighted based upon who is there. And again, I really have a feeling that the Sheffield judging standards are going to come up, because there is a perception that they were looser than Worlds, and it's not the inaugural Sheffield anymore. I don't think it's a good look. Not that this is all planned. It's happening in the moment. I'm not suggesting any kind of you know, intentional bias or change in judging. But I think, I mean, remember how he won, right? He won on an overturn, right? Mm-hmm. He got the you know, what he got on an overturn. And I don't know, like, I don't think that's going to happen again. So I think even when I did the math of him just equaling 272 and a half on his bench and 410 on his deadlift, but squatting 478 and chipping the world record, he's still in first, you know. And again, I had Jonathan Keiko with those kind of more conservative picks equaling PB. So I think it is Jesus's Sheffield to lose. I'll be honest with you there. He's the last person to go too. He gets to make the attempt selection calls that put him in a position of advantage, so he can be more conservative on getting that squat record, or leave a little something for the deadlift, or, you know, he can do what Matt said and go 478 in his second, take something crazy for a ride in his third, and then he can put whatever he needs on the bar for the deadlift, pushing something closer to what he thinks might be challenging to keep locked out or something, or just exactly what he needs, you know, obviously within reason for taking the first spot. So I think it's a very tough scenario where Jesus is not winning.
Wow, so he wins with wiggle room and can miss some lifts. I mean, it's what a run. This is a Jesus Olivares era, and we are just eating it up. He's doing some insane things here in back-to-back Sheffield. Now, let's talk about who would come in. We're going to move. We got our top four from the top four to 8 to 5, and we'll start with number 8. We're going to start at the top of the order. Rory, who is going to in 8th place?
For number 8, I have Gustav Hedlund. His training does look good. It's very submaximal, so, you know, projecting those top ends is a little bit harder. I think the variable that's going to change exactly where he falls is what his attempt selection is like. And if you look at his meet history, there are some meets where his attempt selection is spot on. And I suspect those are the meets where Carolina is there. And there are some meets where his attempt selection is frankly not very good at all. And that difference could make the difference between him coming like very low in the rankings and actually very, very high in the rankings. And so I'm actually saying that he's going to come in around the mid 880s, which will be just shy of the world record. And it's actually amazing. I think he's only going to come in 10 kilos lower than Matt, and that's bumped him from third or fourth all the way down to like eighth. But yeah, I've got him coming in around the mid 880s.
Matt, who is your number eight at Sheffield?
The godfather of British powerlifting, Mr. Tony Cliff. I know that I'm looking forward to that podcast dropping, Ryan. I can't wait to listen to that. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait, man. You know, I do. The only world record that is in play for Tony, and he has said this, I believe, is the bench press world record. And I fully anticipate that he's going to take a shot at that. I believe Dennis Cornelius holds that world record at 253. Tony has a PB of 250 kilos. I fully anticipate that he's going to take 253 and a half on his third. Hopefully his second is not so heavy that it fatigues him for that shot at that world record. I just, you know, even if I give kind of or assume that Tony is going to hit some incremental PBs in the squat and the deadlift, I still have him coming in at about 973 and a half, which would be just shy of the 978.5 world record. So I have Tony Cliff in eighth place at about 99.49%. But I would be thrilled if he were to break that world record and prove me wrong. I love Tony. Such a great guy.
The living legend. Eric, who do you have for your eighth?
I have Gavin Aiden in eighth. I do have him successfully breaking the squat world record, chipping it. I think he's definitely due. And I think anyone who is not just, you know, like the Joker wants to see him actually get it, right? You know, people who just don't want to see the world burn. I think he's good for it for sure. And, you know, I think we're not seeing quite the same messaging and mentality on display. I don't know if you guys would agree with that. So I get the impression that a more conservative approach, get the squat world record, nothing crazy, chip it, and, you know, do things that I think I can do on the rest of my lifts. And when you do the math,
are you saying Gavin isn't burning his boats anymore?
He's
a mature Gavin. What's going on?
I'm saying that, you know, like, he might have to lease a boat this time, so it may not be his to burn. So many have been burned, right? You know, so
he's going to lease a boat, burn it, but his boat's still, I got you. He's playing the game now.
He's leased a boat, and he doesn't have necessarily the insurance to burn it. So, you know, there may be a fire involved, but probably on the sand and.
Gotcha. You know, all right.
So, yeah, it's, I think we're seeing a slightly more conservative Gavin, which I do think will actually result in potentially his best total ever. You know, something like 884 is where I have him, with a similar squat to his deadlift at 220 bench, not necessarily going over that 888 world record, but getting close to it, doing well, but having that place him in the kind of the middle of the pack in that eighth spot. I guess it's not middle of the pack, but, you know, bottom of the middle. I think we're going to see a more conservative Gavin, to be honest.
Rory, who's coming in number seven?
Number seven is Panna. So he recently did a training SPD day. He went 260, 180, 290, but he did that at 70 kilograms, which is just, it's quite a long way from 66. Like, that's a big cut. He's already shredded. Like, at 70 kilos, he is diced. And he has to drop another 4 kilos on top of that to compete. I do think he's pacing for one of his best ever performances at 66. But I think one of his best ever performances at 66 is something like 700 or 705, which the record is a little over, is 710.5. And so I still have him, even with one of the best performances he's ever done, coming in at about 99.2.
Matt, what do you think? What's your number seven?
Tim Matagatti from New Zealand, number seven. As we all know, he tied at the World Championships in Malta, right? Is that right? And lost on body weight with a 778 kilo total. His training has looked really good. You know, he hit a 270 squat just recently, tripled 250. I fully anticipate that he is going to break his own squat world record. I think that's definitely in play. Can cash a check there. Haven't seen much from Tim in the bench. I mean, the last video that he posted in the bench was all the way back from May. So even if I assume, you know, that he, you know, that the bench is on par and he ties his PB at 170 or 172 and a half, what we have seen is he hit a huge 345 kilo deadlift in training that was done on January 2nd. So about 3 weeks ago. I don't know if he squatted and benched first or he did that fresh or what have you, but I have Tim coming in seventh place with about a 797.5 kilo total. So I have him going about 285, 172 and a half, and then 340 on the deadlift. So that would put him at 99.69%, just beneath that world record total of Chell Backlund at 800 kilos.
Yeah, these deadlifts on the 74s lately have been insane.
Insane.
It is just crazy. Worlds 20. I'm not going to diverge. Don't worry. But Worlds 2024 is going to be an insane deadlift battle in the 74s. Yeah. Eric, who's your number seven?
I have Tony Cliff for many of the same reasons that were already stated. You know, he's the confidence and I think the motivation for him to, like, he's coming into his own at this stage. Not that he hasn't been around the block for a long time. Maybe it's because I just got my pro card at 40. Maybe I just like to see the late peakers like myself, but I have him making some incremental progress on his squat and his deadlift, and then chipping that bench world record, putting him right just around 975 or just over. And when I run the numbers on everybody else, that puts him right around seventh for a very respectable, you know, showing from Tony.
Rory, lucky number six. Who's coming in six in the men's division?
Yeah, number six. I have Tony Cliff with very similar analysis. He might, I think he's likely to probably put a chip on the bench world record and incremental progress squat deadlift. I've got him coming in at 975 or 980.
But Matt, not 976.
Not 976. Definitely not 976. That would be whack.
Matt, who is your number six for Sheffield?
Number six, I have Kyota Uchiyama. Not going to rehash all of the things that Rory said, I have him coming in literally just a sliver under the world record. I have him hitting a 710 kilo total to the tune of about 242 and a half, 172 and a half on the bench and 295 in the deadlift. I do think that he will probably take a shot at that world record deadlift on the third. Like Eric said, I hope that he's made some of the technical corrections. I think at Worlds, he got called for soft knees on his second and third pulls, or maybe that was last year's Sheffield. I've forgotten which, but hopefully for those who don't know, I believe he's a civil servant. He's a fireman in Japan. And so has a significant amount of life stressors and so forth. But I do anticipate him performing better than he did at last year's Sheffield. And so I have him coming in sixth place at about 99.93%, literally just under the world record total.
Eric, who is your number six?
I think this is interesting because I have Penna. And, the crazy thing here is that because there's no world record at play in this battle of the 66s, there could be a 2.5 kilo separation between Panna and Kyota. And while that is a marginal win in, you know, one of them just edging out the other in the 66s, that puts like three places between them in the overall rankings, you know, which is just kind of wild to think about. You know, it sounds like I was like, you got Kyota in third and Panna in sixth. You think he's that much better? No, I have a 2.5 kilo spread between Panna and Kyota in my predictions. So I have Kyota at 712. So just slightly, more confident. And then I had Panna at 710. So he's definitely showing improvement. This is going to be the best Panna we've seen. But at the same time, that gym total he put together, he is the king of the grinds, but it was all grindy and his bench press was touch and go. So the bench, I don't have it at that same, total that he put up. So I've got him estimating around like 250 175, 285 for a 7.10 total, just short of the world record. And only 2.5 behind a Kyoto who comes out and surprises us and it looks more composed and technical, because I think he's doing things that he needs to do to improve, and putting him in that sixth place spot, which is, you know, excellent to be placing six out of the best 12 male lifters in the world, and being, you know, just the closest you can be to the world record without actually being it.
Number five, Rory, who do you have?
I have Timothy Monagatti. Very similar. I have seen a 280 squat from him recently that was good. It was to depth. It was convincing. And so I'm saying that he's going to scrape his own world record. I think probably 284. I've seen him bench 160 for a triple. And so maybe some incremental progress there. But, you know, he has benched, what have I got here, 170. So if he gets 170 or, you know, maybe 172.5, and that 345 kilo deadlift, oh my goodness. So I actually have him, even though it ends up being several placings, I've only got him like 3 kilos ahead of what I think Matt said. I've got him at 801.5, just scraping over the existing world record, which gives him, I think, 100.1%.
Matt, who do you have, sir, for your number five?
For number five, I've got Callie Johansson. I do believe that he is going to crack that 800 kilo total. I think he's going to break Chell Backlund's total that Chell hit at Euros. As far as training, I think the biggest I've seen from Callie in training is a 260 squat. He does rep work on bench, or at least that's what he posted, 160 for six, so not a lot there. The heaviest deadlift that I've seen him do in training was 325 for a double, and it was comfortable. It didn't look that hard, so it's going to be amazing to see he and Tim kind of pulling big there. And so I've got Callie coming in at 802.5. I think a 272.5 squat, is that right? A 185 bench and a 345 deadlift. So that would put him at about 100.31%. So just over the world record total.
He pulled 340 single for dead. Yeah, so 345 is definitely, you ballpark it right off that double, which is tough to do. So you, hats off to you, Matt. You know your math. Eric, how about you? What's your number five look like?
I have Gustav Hedlund in fifth. And I kind of have him just basically being right around or incrementally improving, totaling 887, just short of the world record. And based upon where everybody else shakes out, solid improvements, good attempt selection, everything that was said previously about him, and just being just short of that top four.
Remind me where you had the other 93s.
All right. Now, some of the 93s I have not said yet.
You don't have to say them, but
I have. One of them I have not. You're correct. I have only said not Carlos. So I have Jonathan Keiko in second, Gustav Hedlund in fifth, and the other 93, Gavin Aiden in eighth.
Remind me, Matt, where you had your 93s.
So my 93s, I've got Jonathan Keiko as number two, Gustav Hedlund three, Gavin Aiden four.
And Rory?
And I've yet to announce Carlos.
How did you have your name?
To announce Carlos, I have third Keiko, fourth Aiden, and eighth Hedlund.
Okay, and we'll round off the number fours and remind you. I'd like you, gentlemen,
to point out the only difference in our orders there was within the battle of 93s. I think Matt and I have the same, and then Rory and I just have swapped for Gustav and Gavin. He has Gavin higher. I have Gavin lower.
And then remind me when we go through, fellas, we'll round out the 44s. Your 74 kilo battle winner in there as well. And frig, if Chell gets in there, the battle of 74s, Sheffield's going to be amazing. All right, Rory, your number four pick.
We've already done number four. We're on to 12 through nine now.
Yep. Okay, 12 through nine. Sorry, who do you have for winning the 74s?
Rory? Kyoto Ushiyama.
No, 74.
I've got Tim winning the 74s.
Matt, who did you have winning the Battle of 74s?
Kelly Johansson.
Eric?
I have Tim Mordecai.
Wow.
And that
not
is
not yet mentioned, Kyle.
Yeah, and that comes down to the fact that he threw up that monster deadlift. And I think they're close enough that ultimately Tim is going to be able to decide, what do I want to deadlift? Because he has more reserve.
You gentlemen, Rory, you have who winning the Battle of the 66s?
I have Kyoto winning the 66s.
Eric?
Oh, as well, barely.
Yes. Matt? Kyoto.
Wow. Oh. Fellas, we got some upsets coming. You have some reigning world champions being upset within their own weight class. It's getting hot in here. All right, let's move on to the final segment. This will be the rankings from 12th to 9th. And we're going to start with the top of the order, Rory. Rory, who do you have for number 12?
I'm actually going to cheat a little bit here. I'm going to do 11 and 12 combined. So I have both Delaney Wallace and Anatoly Novopismeni, both seemingly substantially injured. I haven't seen Anatoly go over 250 on either squat or deadlift. Delaney has been squatting, but he's been doing that thing where he has the camera so close that you can see his body, but not the weight on the bar. And so like, haven't been able to see what his load has actually been, but I know that he has been injured. So they've both been benching well. I think Delaney's likely to get a comp bench PB. Anatoly may take a crack at the world record bench. His bench, I saw him do a 200 for four that looked decent. But I've got both of them sort of depending exactly how injured they are. They would only need to be 10 or 15 kilos off their best ever to be right at the bottom. And so like, if they're not 100%, they're 11 and 12.
Matt, what are you thinking here, sir?
I have the exact same logic and rationale as Rory, because we don't know anything in terms of their injury status, or we know very little. And so for those reasons, I have them at 12th and 11th. And literally you can just coin flip which is which, because I just don't have any data. And so under normal circumstances, I would pick them significantly higher. But under the current circumstances and the information that I have them at 12th and 11th. Delaney at 12th and Anatoly, or the 12th and Anatoly at 11th, but it could be the other way. So
yeah, let's hope they surprise us and show up. Like, sure. Wow, I feel a lot better those last 3 weeks. You never know. Eric, what are you thinking?
I have Carlos Peterson Griffith in 12th. If we just kind of assume pretty similar numbers to his best, or even slightly up, that puts him around like an 855 total. And it's just not enough to necessarily climb the ranks that well. I mean, it's awesome. It's good to see, you know, him making that explosion onto the scene. But you know, like his attempt at 332 at Worlds, and his attempt on, like his missed attempts were, I don't have an indication that he's far more capable of something much larger than what he's put up. So I have a relatively conservative estimation, which is still an improvement. You know, his best total raw to date is, you know, 847. So maybe 850. I can't quite remember, but I think given that, I think 855 total, if he does well, incremental improvements, makes a decent amount of lifts, it still puts him around 12th. And similar comment, and I'll get to it when I get to talk about his placing, is we don't have a lot of information on Delaney or Anatoly's true capabilities. And I kind of just assumed both of them being resilient, not at their best, but decently up there. And I think I was just a little less harsh from what I took from Delaney's possibility than the other gentleman on the call, and results in different placings that's so tight.
So who's your number 11? Because those gentlemen gave their number 11. Is it Delaney?
My number 11 is actually Carl Johansson. So I have him with a good squat, but you know, not breaking the world record. So 270, 185 on bench, which is good. You know, he's incremental improvements, and then 331 on a deadlift, because I think Tim's just gonna just be able to pull more, you know, based upon what I saw. So I think Carl is gonna improve, but not to the same kind of monumental leaps that we might have seen previously.
And is that the 330 rep? Because he pulled 340, but again, this is like he didn't max out on squat. He didn't max out on bench. He didn't, you know, cut weight and all the rest of it, right? And this is where sometimes people get the numbers people think drop, but they didn't drop. You know, Matt's alluded to this several times on different preview shows. It's not the same. Is that kind of the way you're thinking with the deadlift? He'll get a PR, yes, but maybe it looks a little bit artificially high based off of highlights?
Yes, exactly. Well said. I could have explained that more, but you just did. Thank you.
No worries. All right, let's move on to our numbers. We did a 12 and 11. Let's move on to 10. Who's cracking the top 10, Rory?
I have Carlos Peterson Griffith coming in 10th place. Very similar, I think. Incremental improvement, sort of more or less across the board, but like a great day for him would be an 860 total. And that's still 20 kilos behind the other 93s. And I mean, a great day for him would be 860.
He's done 847.5. That's a 12 and a half kilo jump. That's you'll take that at Sheffield.
Huge total PB, but not enough.
Matt, who is your top 10? Who's cracking your top 10?
I have Carlos coming in at number 10 as well for a lot of the same reasons, that Eric and, of course, Rory just spoke to. We don't have a lot of data on him. I will say this. He's no stranger to international competition and travel coming from Guyana when you look at his open powerlifting. So presumably, he's not going to be shaken up by the travel and that sort of thing. Having listened to him on another podcast, he believes that he's going to be taking a shot at that world record squat. So that will be fun to watch if, in fact, that happens with presumably he and Gavin, maybe even ping-ponging that back together or back and forth. And how does that change outcomes? And how does that, you know, force the hand of the other and so forth? But, yeah, for a lot of the same reasons that the other two panelists have said, I've got Carlos coming in 10th place.
Eric, who's cracking your top 10?
My 10th spot, just clicked off my spreadsheet, is Tim Monagatti. I have him winning the battle of the 74s, breaking the squat world record, just putting a chip on there. Bench, you know, he hasn't been showing that. I think it's very hard to improve that when you're really lean and staying kind of at the bottom of your body weight. So if we assume something like a 170, and then putting what he needs on to win the battle of the 74s, winning that deadlift battle and then inching up ahead by a small amount because he's beating someone else who's probably also going to chip the world record, and just being slightly below the obviously, I think Kel came in there and just took a whole lot of money away from both these guys, right? So bumped that world record by a double digit number, and they're like, oh, okay. So that really kind of change the game as far as where the 74 potential placing was overall. But between that battle, I think it'd be very tight with Tim coming out because he's the bigger deadlifter, it seems.
Yeah, for a weight class, I mean, my God, it was 790.5 or was it 790? I can't, 790.5, whatever. But Chell comes around and to up it by 10 kilos. 10 kilos is a lot. You didn't just chip the world record. World records usually get chipped. 10 kilos is obliterating a world record. And those gentlemen going to Sheffield are like, damn, man, did you do us dirty? However, Shell's like, I got to do what I got to do because guess what? I am also now going to be at Sheffield and he's a reserve. So he's going to get flown in. He's going to be watching it there. And if somebody drops out or gets sick right before, whatever, Shell's in the middle. He did what he had to do. And even if he doesn't compete, his name is being mentioned on every single podcast preview show. His name will be mentioned on the broadcast. He's now a part of it regardless. You can't look past it. But anyways, hats off to him. Rory, who is your number 9?
In number 9, I have Carl Johansson. So very, very similar numbers to what everyone else has already said. I was a little bit more conservative with what I thought he could deadlift. So I've gone 270, 185, 337.5 for a 792.5 kilo total, which 2 months ago would have been a world record.
Fair enough. Matt, who is your number 9?
I've got Penna coming in number nine. Much like Eric said, that battle between he and Kyoto, I just only have 5 kilos separating the two. I have Kyoto totaling about 710, just a slice under the world record. And I have Penna equaling his PB total of 705. You know, he did, like the other guys said, had that epic SBD day, but he was, you know, significantly over body weight. The bench was a touch and go. So I do anticipate those numbers coming down. None of the world records and the individual lifts are at play for him. So he just has to build a total, but traditionally Penna goes about 6 for 9. And so, yeah, I have Penna in ninth place with about 705 kilo total, 99.23%.
Fellas, I can only imagine if Penna goes head to head with Kyoto and doesn't beat him, the fire that will be lit for Worlds. If you know Penna, you know, this would be, because 2023, he had it all.
He won't be happy.
He won everything. Him. He won everything. But he won everything and rose to a crazy level because what happened in 2022. If he goes head to head with Kyoto and Kyoto wins at Sheffield, you better watch out at Worlds. It will be crazy.
Who gets a bigger ovation in the crowd? Penna from the French contingent or my man Tony Cliff being the hometown favorite? I mean, both of those guys are going to bring the house down. That's why I cannot wait to see the two of them lift.
Tony's
been
around.
I think you're going to have more Brits at Sheffield.
It's
a little more travel from the French to get there, and it is sold out. And I suspect Brits bought more tickets first, so I think we're going to see Tony getting the more hand.
Here it is though. There's for sure going to be more Brits, but who's going to be louder? Because those French are wild.
To be fair, who doesn't love Panna? You know, like
cheer
for both. You know, so
totally.
It'll be, that's the thing. Well, I'm telling you what, look, I had Penny on the podcast. He just said, you want to see something like Silent Worker in December at 700 people show up. It's a local meet. 700. And if you saw the videos, they were on their feet yelling like it was a rock concert. 700 people to a local meet. Imagine if France hosted the World Championships. Imagine what that would look like. Or France hosted any of those type of, like the Euros or something. But give them the World Championships. Give them the European Championships. And 700 people at a local meet, you're going to have thousands at Worlds. The World Championships will look like Sheffield if it goes to France. Same with Euros. Give them Euros if you're not going to give them Worlds. Give them one of those. I mean, it's getting crazy. But that's it, gentlemen. We built that off pretty quick, didn't we?
Hold on. Did I give my ninth?
Oh. I don't know that you did.
Did you give your ninth? Who did you say?
I didn't get to say because you didn't ask. You started asking about who would get this winning the standing ovation battle. So
okay, well, who's your three, sir? I almost cut you loose. Everyone listening would be like, oh my god, I never let's see. Let's hear, buddy. I apologize.
It's super not exciting because I have Delaney Wallace locked in for kind of his previous performance because I don't know where he's at. Very similar to what I did with Anatoly, being slightly down on squat and deadlift and then hitting a bench world record. I just put Delaney, you know what? Let's say he repeats Sheffield from last time because having spoken to Delaney, he overcame a lot to get the performance that he did at Worlds. So he is absolutely someone who can scrap and win ugly, as it was said. And he also did not necessarily get the most favorable referee calls on that day. So I mean, I think
that's fact.
Yeah. I think Delaney could I would like to see Delaney, you know, get back at least to baseline. So without the kind of information we had, I put him at baseline, and based upon where everyone else fell, you know, that puts him not quite at the world record yet. So Russ is safe for a little bit longer, close to it, and in the ninth position.
It's tough because these would be the two goes Delaney has at Russ's world record, and he's injured.
Yep.
And that's tough because Russ is back, and now Russ has an opportunity to up that world record. This was it. This is the last one. So hopefully, I don't know exactly where Delaney's at. He's not posting a lot. I asked him how he was doing, and he said he feels like he's turning a corner. He wasn't giving numbers, and I wasn't going to put him on the spot and start asking for numbers either. But he feels like he's turning a corner, and he has time. And should the day arrive, you know Delaney is a dog, and he'll load. And people previously leading into last Sheffield thought he was not capable. And then he was an inch away from taking Russell Orhi's 83-kilo record. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh. No, he's capable. He's capable if he's 100%. We just need to see if he could be 100% on that day. Yes, sir.
I just have one thing that I want to add. I think it's going to be quite interesting. On the women's side, we have 8 repeat attendees, if you will, and only 4 new faces. But on the men's side, we have only 5 repeat attendees and 7 new faces. So I think that's going to be quite interesting, just in terms of how things unfold. It's good to see a bunch of new blood on the men's side and, kind of your repeat customers on the women's side. But
well, this year coming up as well, the USAPL crossovers are going to mix into worlds, and let's see who wins worlds, and let's see who gets wild cards. And Sheffield, is the deck will continuously be shuffled.
Yep.
So we'll see less so probably on the women's side, but we have some gentlemen who are going to be entering the mix. It's going to be exciting stuff. Fellas, I appreciate the heck out of you guys. Let's get it together after Sheffield's over, and let's talk about what happened. Let's see where these picks ended up. And see if we have any surprises, because we always do, don't we? And some of these are so closely contested. Like you guys said, 2 kilos changes everything for Penna. You know, and that's just Penna as an example, but everybody, 2 kilos to change your day, 3 placings. So let's see who scraps it out for those 2 kilos and who reaches just a little bit too far and falls short. Everybody listening, please do subscribe. Give us high ratings. Post up in the stories. I know you guys want to debate me in the DMs, and don't just debate me, debate these gentlemen or post up the stories. We could go on full on debates. Sometimes I get in debates with people, and sometimes I give like shorter answers than I would like, because I got like freaking 7 debates going on at once. I'm going to start copy pasting answers pretty soon, but I appreciate it. Everybody who wants to engage, and that's it. 6-pack lap of that. Until next time, 6 up. Yeah.